time no see.
Hey there. I haven't seen you in forever. How have you been?
I've been great. It's like we did 3 podcasts in 2 days.
I know, amazing. Right? You spent the day over here and then we spent 4 hours on a podcast Thursday night when we recorded with Wes, because we spent 2 hours online and 2 hours offline, just talking with him offline afterwards.
I didn't even realize we were talking for 2 hours offline.
Yeah, because Hetero Lifemate had woken up and he was getting ready to go to work. I mean, so it was like 1:30 when we got done.
Totally worth it.
We started at 9. Yeah, it was totally worth it. If you guys haven't listened to that episode yet, we recorded an episode of Sit Down Conversation with Wes from My 600 Pound Life, the episode this week. Such a really riveting, fantastic interview. And it was hilarious. He's hilarious. He's smart. He's insightful. It's heartwarming. It's inspiring. There's so many adjectives I could use to describe him in that interview. And you just have to listen to it for yourself. Please give it a listen. Also, if you enjoy it, you know, if you want to leave a nice 5-star review, we'd appreciate that. Share with your friends. Get the word out. And Wes was really inspiring, his episode that aired. So it was a really good one. So we were very happy to have gotten in with him as quickly as we did and get that conversation. Because I know I mean, you were literally crying.
I
saw your tears.
Which you can see on YouTube.
Yes, you can see the video on YouTube. It should be up, hopefully. if I can figure out YouTube. So go check that out. We also just finished recording an Unsolved Mysteries episode, the last one of the season. So we're talking about what we're going to cover next in that same sort of genre. So if you have ideas, we'd love to get your input on there. If there's a show, documentary, you know, just a constant series of documentaries, probably, you know, at this point is kind of what we're going to do, sort of jump around to different ones in this sort of genre. And if you have requests, get those to us too, because we absolutely will take requests. If it's something we haven't watched already, we'll watch it.
Definitely. We're always up for new things.
Always, always. I mean, yesterday I learned what spit roast a man is.
I learned so many things yesterday.
Oh my God. Yes.
And Hannah Kyle was like, yep, I already knew that. Yep,
oh yeah. Yep, yeah. Yep. Well, you had to learn what Rule 34 was yesterday.
And I still didn't even look it up. No.
What's your favorite childhood like cartoon?
Scooby-Doo was probably my favorite. Okay.
So Google Scooby-Doo and Rule 34.
Okay, so it says safe search is off.
There's a reason it's warning you about that.
Oh, my. Okay, getting out of that real quick. My browser history comes up.
Yeah, I think Wes and Hannah Kawa yesterday told you to do it in incognito mode.
Well, too late for that.
Anyway, all of those things are covered. That and more is covered in the episode with Wes. So if you want to learn what a spit roasting a man is, or our poor prudish reactions, and I never considered myself a prude at all, not a word I would use to describe myself, and I did not know that. So anyway, now we're moving from one fat show to the other fat show. Would normally be a Fat Friday, but because we had Wes, we split it differently. We're doing 1,000-Pound Sisters. We're talking about Amy and Tammy here.
Yay, Amy and Tammy.
This won't be a super long episode either.
No. Season 4, Episode 5, Greatest Since Sliced Bread. So Amy drops a bombshell on us at the very beginning of this episode. Mm-hmm. We see her chasing Gage around the yard. He's adorable. Mm-hmm. They're planting.
Gage looking cute is I think one of my. Oh no, Gage falls is one of my bingo squares.
Aww.
Not Gage looking cute, but Gage falling because he runs around and falls because he's what, 2?
Yeah, yeah. Him and Kaya would have a
you're familiar. Full you're time. Familiar.
Yes, and Kaya was climbing through your doggy door.
Oh my god!
We gotta play that video.
Oh my god! Except that I noticed looking at because that's where we keep our trash can. Also, in front of that doggy door, I guess. You know, in my family, when we go throw things away, we're not very accurate because there's like this spray of like grossness on that sliding glass door that you can, that's next to the doggy door that you can see in the video. So like, I have to edit it or something. I have to figure it out. But it was adorable. She's taking stuffed animals and she's going through the doggy door and using them to try to get the dogs to teach the dogs to come through the doggy door because the dogs aren't always very smart. And then, of course, Charlie.
Pooped on the carpet. Okay. That's either
way or shit on the carpet.
My dog took the most massive dump ever I've ever seen him take. It's on like the Katrina's size of carpet. His head.
It but was... then my dog peed downstairs while I was recording. So what are you gonna do?
It happens. It happens.
It happens.
I mean, it never happens in my house, just other people's houses, I guess. Whatever.
I think Charlie was just a little spazzed out and excited. Definitely. And so much was going on. He had friends and there was a baby and there was all these dogs
was on the carpet, everyone. And it was 3 inches away from the kitchen floor, which would have been very simple to clean up.
Yeah. They can't do it on the hardwood, the floor, not the hardwood, like fake hardwood, whatever the kitchen.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it there, but they did it on the, Well, that's why I have a like industrial carpet shampooer.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Because I used to, once upon a time when I lived in like a small apartment, I had like the little small spot one and I only had cats at the time. And I thought, oh, a little spot one. That's all I need. No. When you have dogs, two dogs, two cats and children, like, no, you're
game on.
You're running those carpet clean. That carpet clean. You need the big one. So I have a full sized one that I use. So.
Gage is running around the yard and then Chris comes over and Amy says he looks like their grandpa who died before she was born, and I'm like, oh, that's sad, that's really sad, you know. No, that's not it.
She's like, it was just, and then she's like just casually drops,
yeah, she's like, oh, he drank antifreeze and passed away, and I'm like, okay, well maybe it was an act, like I'm thinking maybe it was that's an accident, weird.
Right? Why
that's-
would you drink antifreeze?
Yeah.
Did he try to commit suicide? What was he doing? But then she says
her uncle fed it to him. So now I'm like, what? And I'm trying to do the family tree in my head. I'm like,
wait,
uncle.
Who killed? Wait, what?
Right. And I'm then, like, oh, so his son killed him. So then she said the story was featured in a book written by Harry Spiller titled Murder in the Heartland, Volume 2.
We looked it up. The story is there. There are ways to find it online. I also know that, I mean, it took a bit of searching to get. Other than a link to the book, like where you can purchase the book, like getting a link to the story. But then I know also Starcasm just posted an article about this.
Oh, did they?
They located the book and stuff too. So you can go to Starcasm and you can see it there too.
And then I found a newspaper article.
Yes, you did.
From the Logansport Pharos Tribune from 1989. And it's a little short blippet, so I'm just going to read it so you all can, in your heads, know what's going on. So Shawneetown, man suspected of spiking his father's iced tea with antifreeze has been charged with 3 counts of murder, Gallatin County authorities said. Coroner Tony Cox said the suspect, Charles H. Ellis, 30, was arrested Tuesday night at his home he shared with his parents for the death last month of his father, 61-year-old Charles T. Ellis. Circuit Clerk Betty Jo Rourke said Ellis appeared Wednesday afternoon before Judge Don Foster and was ordered held without bond pending another appearance at 10 a.m. Monday. Rourke said Ellis was being held in White County Jail at Kearney because Gallatin County does not have approved jail facilities. Cox said the elder Ellis became ill at his home the morning of November 6 after drinking some iced tea. Authorities said it was thought at first that Ellis had suffered a stroke. He was taken to Pierce Hospital in El Dorado. Cox said Ellis's condition became progressively worse and that he was transferred November 7th to St. Mary's Hospital in Evansville in Indiana. It looks like where he died November 30th. Anywho, so
So Amy just casually drops this.
Yeah. And I was like, I gotta do more research on this. This is crazy. And I found out also that at first, you know, the son lied, of course, like he didn't have anything to do with it. But they actually took the iced tea container when it smelled foul and they found the antifreeze in the iced tea container pitcher. So he took a lie detector test. He failed it miserably. And then I don't know if he admitted to it or if they just arrested him. I can't remember. But he was dumb and murdered his grandfather. So that was like sad, but I don't want to say it was funny. Death is not funny, but I was just like, right. The way she it just was dropped like a, it. Yeah, like the way she just like casually, nonchalantly just dropped that information.
I did not have murder, kill on my bingo square. I did not have a murder, kill bingo square.
You didn't have drink antifreeze as the...
Nope, drinking antifreeze was not listed. Yeah. I didn't know it was going to play such a role.
Crazy. Oh my gosh. Well then, and it's, you know, it's hot outside. Amy's complaining about it being 3,000 degrees because while you're pregnant. Kentucky
in the middle of the goddamn summer, which I've been there, by the way. I've been to Fort Knox. I spent a summer at Fort Knox. Well, 6 weeks or whatever the fuck it was. I spent at Fort Knox doing the ROTC Army basic camp.
Uh-huh.
Which my own kid is going to have to do this summer.
Aww.
I know. It's so funny because I'm like, I did it. I did it myself too. But you do it in the middle of summer and you're in like full fatigues and you got to do these like ruck marches out in the middle of like the fields where there's no tree cover. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was fun because you're doing like cool army shit. It's like a big recruiting tool because they're trying to recruit people. You know, you're not committed necessarily.
Chris to do that instead of the little obstacle course his nephews created for him. Maybe he should go to
Fort Knox and do the where they send a bunch of college students that are considering ROTC. Yeah, here. Well, that's cool. You get to do like rappelling and obstacle courses and all kinds.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's physically fucking demanding. The best shape of my life when I was there, but I was also like, you know, that was like 30 years ago.
Right.
I was
like
25 years old when I was there.
Oh, I hear you.
So anyway, but we digress.
So
hot. It's fucking hot in Kentucky.
It's hot. Chris is worried about Amy because she's high risk. Then we switch over. We see Tammy in rehab. She says she's been rehab for 8 months and now she can walk almost 200 steps, which I don't know what she was at before, but 200 is progress.
I think one episode she couldn't even walk like 10 steps to the mailbox.
Yeah. And then we see her going up the stairs, which if you remember in last season, she freaked out when she couldn't walk up like 3 stairs to go to the vacation house that they rented.
Yeah.
So she had anxiety and panic over that. And now she walked up the stairs. So everybody in the rehab's like cheering her on. And
yeah,
that was nice to see.
Yeah.
She's like, I done did that.
Yeah. It's nice seeing her like genuine, like understanding, like a feeling of accomplishment and vindication and stuff. What was the word that Wes used yesterday when he had lost that weight?
He used a lot of big words. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, he did a lot of expensive words, but I forgot. We asked him what, that's an Asuelu-ism from Asuelu and Kalani from 90 Day.
Oh.
He always used that. That's a, yeah. That comes
gotcha.
The old school 90 Day.
Yeah.
But no, he used a word about, I forget what, the feeling of accomplishment and vindication and stuff. They're showing her, like, she's genuinely happy that she did it. It's great seeing that.
Nice to see her smile and be happy. Yeah, it's really great to see. I'm
proud of herself, yeah.
And then we can see how proud of herself, you know, when she calls Dr. Smith on FaceTime. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, what's your weight at? And she's like, it's under 550 at 534.
Which was her goal weight, yeah.
Right. So she crushed her goal. And he was like, wow, that's awesome. And it left him speechless. So that was nice to see him.
Yeah.
Because he's been with her for a while now through the ups and downs and, well, downs mainly because she hasn't lost weight for a while. Yeah. And so then he tells her, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, but they didn't give up on her.
Exactly. And I feel like Dr. Smith has a lot more compassion than some other bariatric surgeons that we know. Or at least bedside manner. Let me put it that way. He has more bedside manner.
His bedside manner is different than Dr. Now's. Yes. Yeah. We'll put it that way.
Right. And then he says that she needs to meet with other doctors like pulmonology, hematology, and her therapist to make sure that she's good to go. But he's approving her for his part of the surgery. So that was a huge, huge part in the
bingo square approved for surgery.
Yeah. Oh, yay. But then of course she has to get the therapist approval, and so he's like, do you like your therapist? And she's like,
this surprised me because she said yes.
Yeah, no,
and that she had requested to take her private her therapy private, so they weren't filming it anymore, I guess is what how I interpreted that, which is probably smart.
Definitely
you know, gonna get more out of her when she doesn't have to be on the camera for it as well.
Well, there's like people like Wes that are open about talking about trauma and past things.
She's
and
then not.
She's not. She hasn't been on camera.
She doesn't want to talk about it.
Right. Which is fair enough. Neither would I, to be honest. I mean,
yeah.
Some people are strong and or want to share and others don't. There's not.
Yeah, it's harder. And so hopefully they didn't like elaborate on it. This is just my speculation, but that's how I'm interpreting that when she said something about taking it private. I was like, okay, she's maybe, because then she said she liked the therapist. So, I mean, she's obviously talking to that, because what we saw of it, of their interactions, it was like, who would like that therapist? She was awful. I hated her. I didn't like her, but
I didn't hate her, but I didn't think she was right for Tammy. I'll put it that way. I think she was probably good for certain people, but Tammy is, their personalities just
she needed something different, but whatever. I mean, it whatever it is, it worked out. So, and maybe she changed therapists and she likes the new one. Who knows? But in any case, she said that she liked the therapist and then that's all good. So hopefully that means that, you know, therapist isn't going to have an issue signing off on it. I mean, we know she gets the surgery, so obviously it got approved at some point, but seeing the journey of how it gets there, which will be interesting.
Definitely. And then I was traumatized in this episode when I see that Chris brought over a 10-pound gator to smoke. I was like, what is this? Like, I was getting, I don't even eat meat, and I was getting nauseous looking at that thing.
Horrifying. Like,
I know.
I've had gator tail before.
I have eaten alligator back in the day, but I've
never
seen
it the way, like, this was like an alligator, like, whole. Fresh out of the water and then skin.
Yes.
And he's just carrying it around in a bag, like, oh.
Right. Like, it was nothing.
And that's just foul to me. It's like roadkill, but like redneck roadkill. Like, yeah. I can't with it.
One of my exes in college, we went out to dinner and he ordered alligator bites. It was like fried alligator bites, but didn't tell me. I went to the bathroom or something. I came back. He's like, oh, I got this chicken, like back when I ate meat. Oh, I got this, like, you know, delicacy. Look at the whatever. And I was like, oh, I ate it. And then he told me after it's alligator. And it was chewy. It was like,
from what I remember. Gator tail's kind of chewy. Yeah.
And I almost threw up. I was like, you can't, why would you lie to me? Oh my God. Why would you not tell me this? Well, that's horrifying. Think you would try it. No, that's not cool.
Yeah. That's horrifying. That's wrong. Don't do that, people.
Yeah.
Do not trick people. Food, alcohol, drinks, anything. That's literally what my nightmares are made of. My drinking dreams are literally about somebody forcing alcohol into me. Yeah.
Oh, really? Like tricking you or holding you down and forcing you?
I don't know necessarily, but I know that I didn't in my dream. I think sometimes I've been held down. I don't know if the specifics of it have always been very clear, but it's always been a case of I did not choose to ingest that first drink. But
so you're drinking against your will. In one way,
yeah. But then what happens is once it's in my system, because of I'm an alcoholic, because I sort of have, you know, this sort of quote unquote allergy to alcohol. Once it's in my system, I want more. So that's the problem, right? Because it's like I'm not a normal drinker like you. You can have one drink and stop.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. It doesn't work that way for me. I can't stop. I get this phenomenon of craving. I can't stop it. And so that's what, like, my nightmares are literally made out of. Like, I'm somehow forced to drink it. Somebody gives me, it's a seltzer, but it's one of their like spiked seltzers.
Those are sneaky though. Like sometimes you look at it and you may not know.
Exactly. And that happened to a friend of mine. This was the, like, seltzers, hard seltzers were like a brand new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't know to, necessarily look at it. And she'd been sober 15 years on. She drinks this drink and all of a sudden she has this drink, you know, down her throat. And, you know, she has to deal with her body's reaction and, you know, just like all it's horrifying. Oh, I mean, wow. It's really what my nightmares are made out of. And
Wow.
So yeah. So then I was like, once you get the alcohol in me, like, then I'm like, fuck it. And I keep drinking.
Yeah.
And then I start doing, and then I wake up in a panic and I'm like, oh, it's just a dream. No, I'm still sober. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, guys, don't do that.
No. Yeah. Don't trick people.
No food or drinks.
Poor alligator.
Oh. Yeah. That was.
And then I was traumatized again when I saw the JJ Cocoa Melon toy on the couch and I was like, panic.
What is that?
It's this show, Cocoa Melon, and all the moms that have kids under like 8 will know about it. I don't know how old. It's just the singing song with JJ the doll, and Kaya's got JJ toys everywhere, and she sings his songs, and the songs get in your head to the point where now when I go to brush her teeth, she'll just start singing the teeth brushing song.
Oh,
I'm like, I'm like, okay, just, you know, just sing along with her. Anyway, these songs get in your head. So I trigger gator, JJ Coco Melon toy, moms will know. But it's a good show. I shouldn't hate on it. It's what it is.
Kid shows.
Right.
What are you gonna do? We had like the Teletubbies and shit. Like, that's some fucked up shit, but it was good. It worked for the kids. What are you gonna do?
Right.
My kid was raised on, you know, Baby Einstein and the Wiggles. Like, what are you gonna do?
Hey, it could be worse, you know? Mm-hmm. So be right back.
Hey, fraudcasters. You've probably already heard about how effective Ozempic and Wegovy are. You've probably also heard that they're in shortage, but Row makes it possible to access GLP-1s and start your journey ASAP. Through Row, you can access prescription-compounded GLP-1s with the same weight loss ingredient as the brand name GLP-1s at a fraction of the cost. You can see if you qualify from the comfort of your own home. That means no having to schedule a doctor's appointment, no driving to the doctor's office, no waiting rooms, none of that. You do it all from the comfort of your home through your computer. And if prescribed, your medication ships directly to you in 1 to 4 days. Go to row.co/fraudcast. Membership start at just $99 for your first month. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/fraudcast. Go to ro.co/safety for black box warning and full safety information. Compounded medication is not required to and does not receive FDA review or approval. Prescription only.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
We're back. So then the next scene, we see a group phone call between everyone, Tammy, her sisters, everyone. And Amy says that she hopes Tammy exceeds her ass. And that they go from 1,000-pound sisters to sexy sisters. Tammy's just telling everyone she was approved for surgery in the phone call. So that's where that came from. Which I'm down for a spin, our new show, 1,000-pound sisters to sexy sisters. Looking like Angela from 90 Day Fiancé, getting her surgeries and all that stuff.
Why'd you have to mention her?
I know. I don't know. It just came to me because I'm thinking.
Sorry. No.
I know. Yeah. I crossed the line.
You did. You did. We have to fire you.
Should I say Darcy and Stacy? Would that make it better?
Oh my God.
Or Madonna? I don't know. No. Anyways, so Tammy says that life threw her some obstacles. And that she was always big. And they show pictures of her when she was younger. And she was really big
when she was young. Like 3 years old. Yeah.
Yeah. She said at age 2 or 3, her mom had to buy her adult clothes that she would cut to fit her. And so that was really sad to hear that she had really been that big her whole life. Oh, then we're back to the gator at the church.
Mm. Yeah.
With like a chicken in its mouth.
Looks like, oh yeah, because he like roasted did a chicken with it or something. It was just, no, it was horrifying. And so it looked like he was doing like this whole feed the church thing they were doing.
It looked like a potluck or something.
Yeah, or something. So I saw like strawberry and banana kebabs, which actually that's a really good idea. I like those. It's a way for fruit, you know, so people don't have to be touching other stuff, you know. And I was scanning that for that whole meal for the bingo square of made a healthy food choice. And nobody did. They were eating the fried gator.
It's fried. It was roasted though, right?
Whatever the fuck it is.
Smoked.
Amy was looking forward to this. Apparently it's the delicacy for these Kentuckians. So
yeah, to each his own, I guess.
Yeah, you know.
And then I felt like I related to Amy on so many levels when they were sitting there talking about her surgery being the next day, her C-section, and she hadn't gotten anything done. I was like, I know what that's like. I do my best work under pressure.
Yeah. If you wait to the last minute to do it, it will only take a minute to do.
Yes.
That's the wisdom of the ADHD procrastinator's brain that we didn't share with Wes when he kept talking about it yesterday.
Yes. You ask all my classmates, they're like, how do you study the night before, like a week, you know, for months of material? And I'm like, because I do better under pressure. I don't know what to say. I wish it was any other way.
I do well with deadlines and, you know, every work assignment I get, I always ask, you know, what's my timeline on this? When is this expected? I need to know those timelines and then I make up, I backdate timelines. It's like, okay, well, if you need it for this, and then I need to have this draft done by this date. And that means I need to start writing by this date and finish transcript review by this date. So I'd backdate the whole thing. So I have these dates in order to keep me on track.
Yeah.
That's, you know, ADHD hack, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and then I figured too, like, okay, so for Amy, it's her second C-section. Now she knows what to expect. So maybe it's not as scary. She can throw the bag in the last moment, whatever.
It's scary though, because she's terrified.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, of all the physical stuff, you know, concerns and, you know, going from one to two, I've never done it. So I can't say what that feeling is, but I have a lot of friends that have been through it and it is kind of a mind fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and people don't realize like the recovery, you and I do, obviously, and moms listening, the recovery of a C-section is pretty brutal in some ways.
Major surgery.
It is. Yeah. It is.
And then you're expected to care for this baby and you can't even carry. You can't even lift because you have this major abdominal surgery. You're not allowed to lift. You know, like, how are you supposed to like get this baby in and out of a bassinet? God.
I know. Awful. My mom stayed with me after my C-section because I'm a single mom and I needed help. And I remember, you know, Kaya would be in the bassinet next to me crying and I would have to talk myself into getting up. I'd be like, okay, count of five. And I'd have to roll like, okay, like
grab the pillow on your belly.
Yeah. And it was rough. And so,
my baby daddy, he was still in Korea when I gave birth. So he
was he?
He wasn't even at the birth of baby Frauded.
Who was with you?
I was, my mom and my dad were. And I was at my mom's hospital, the hospital that my mom worked at. She worked in the ER there and the PACU. And so she was like handpicking my anesthesiologist and she had handpicked my OBGYN. Well, it's awesome. But, you know, nurses have control issues. Mom nurses in their own environment. Oh, God, no. She was she was going down the hall because they weren't changing my sheets in the way that she wanted to. She was going to do it herself. It was whatever. I didn't care. I was whatever. I had, you know. I was busy with other things to care too much about what my mother was doing to make, you know, the whole situation better. But so I didn't have anybody with me even in the hospital that first night. Like, I think my mom stayed with me a little bit, but then she couldn't stay. So like they took the baby to the nursery and then they would bring him to me every time he woke up crying because I couldn't have him in my room. Because I couldn't get up because of the surgery and I didn't have anybody there with me to be able to get the baby out of the bassinet.
See, where I delivered, there's not even a nursery. They put the babies in the room.
Nowadays. Most of it, yeah. I think back then was like starting the transition to the, because I remember that being a thing. Are you going to room in? Are you going to not? You know, all the message boards where the moms talk to each other about stuff. all of that, people were talking, I think, you know, that was when it was starting to come in, but I didn't have a choice. I had had this major abdominal surgery. I physically could not get, I still had a catheter in. I physically could not get out of my bed to pick up the baby, to put him on my boob to feed him.
Yeah.
So they had to put him in the nursery, and then they would just bring him to me every time he woke up and cried. So, and then they would come in and give me, you know, whatever, my pain meds and all that other stuff. And then,
hey, gotta do what you gotta do.
Gotta do.
And at that point, Amy says she feels like a bad mom to Missy, and she wonders if she's going to be good enough. And we see Amy open up. She's talking about how she's scared to have a second child, how she wants to make sure she's doing everything right, and she wants to be better than her mom.
Yeah.
And just, I think that sentence alone, somebody just saying that they want to do better than their...
You're automatically, that shows that you're doing better.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
You're already doing better because you're consciously thinking of every decision you're making or everything you're doing. And I think that she showed some raw emotion, which kind of made me tear up.
Yeah. This has been a theme with her. I mean, they don't do it, they don't go to it often, but they have gone to it before where she's talked about how she just wants to do better for her family and her life. And I remember it specifically with buying the house and how she wants to do better than was done with her, you know, and wanting to move out and buying this new house that they bought, you know, and having the big yard for Gage to run around. It's just already that's better than, you know, the way she was raised. And it's just like showing that how she wants to break her cycles and just be better, and how she's just continuing to do that work to make it better. It's like, oh, you know,
it's refreshing.
It is. It's nice to see.
Yeah. Then we see Amy and Michael driving to the hospital in the next scene, and she's talking about her sleep and how much she needs it. And, you know, with one child is one thing, but now you have a toddler and a second child trying to sleep. And I agree. I know what that's like.
Hard enough with just the one.
Right. And we see Krista going to Amanda's house now because it's the next morning, and they are waiting to hear the news on the delivery of Glenn. Chris says baby, that a man,
baby Glenn versus middle-aged man Glenn. Still can't get over the name.
You need to watch The Walking Dead.
I won't. I barely just started watching The Last of Us, and that's basically The Walking Dead. So I'm just not.
It's, no. I know. It's same but different. It's different.
No. It's just not my genre. Sorry.
Then Chris says Amanda's cool in her old age, and they fought a lot when they were younger. Tammy says she could wish that, or Tammy wishes she could be there for the birth, because in the past she had been there for all of her nephews and nieces.
Yeah. Except for Gage, because COVID. Right.
COVID. So then we see Glenn. He was born weighing in at 5 pounds, 11 ounces. And I think he does look a lot like Amy from what I saw.
I don't remember forming an opinion.
Okay. Cause I remember when I saw Gage, I was like, well, that's Michael's baby. Like that looks like that is Michael's mini me. But then I saw Glenn and I was like, okay, I see it. I see Amy.
We were talking about just how it's so funny at birth, like immediately people are like, oh, they look like so-and-so, or they look, you know, they always say that, like, how that's such an immediate thing for people to say.
Yeah. And so many people say they look like their dad when they're born, and it's nature's way of a DNA test, even though there's no scientific evidence behind that. But I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then us women carry around the baby for 9 months and they come out looking like the dad.
Looking like their dad. It's like, yeah, my kid is like his dad's mini me. Although when people see us together, they're like, oh my God, he looks so much like you. It's because he has like my same like nose and eyes and up like hair. And it's a pretty distinctive eye color. Versus, I mean, we have these really pretty green, hazel green eyes that are pretty. So he has the same eyes that I do. And stuff. So I guess that we look alike. But if you see him next to his dad or pictures, like, oh my God, they're like identical. There was no DNA test needed. They look identical, especially when he was younger. But then like now, like, you know, my kid's an adult now, right? And he'll do stuff and he'll gesture and do stuff. I'm like, oh my God, that's your father right there. You know. And I'll like panic. What?
That's funny.
Yeah. What's even more fucked up is that my son's voice, when you hear him from another room, sounds exactly like my brother, which is really the weirdest thing. So I'm like, it's the weirdest fucking mind fuck to hear him, my child as an adult talking, but it sounds like my brother. And it's just my weird family dynamics.
That's funny.
So.
All right. Well, then we see Amy saying the doctor yelled when I guess they're pulling Glenn out. He's peeing. Gotta stop having babies because they always pee and fart on me, which is hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, and boys pee. I mean, mm-hmm. if you don't get peed on, you're not a boy mom. You know, you learn how to mitigate it.
Yeah.
You know, I always like laid the trick I learned early was like he's already in the diaper, the dirty one you're going to take off, but you open the new diaper and you lay it down. You put him on top of it. So you're able to like pull the old diaper off and immediately fold the new one over his penis because the cold air hits the wee wee and that's what makes him pee straight up in the air.
So oh, interesting. Yeah. See, as a girl mom, I never had
never to had to worry about that.
No.
That's what they do.
Interesting. Yep. Okay. And Amy says that she wanted to be a mom since she was 5 mm-hmm. and she wanted 2 kids. So their family is complete. So that kind of answers our question when earlier, I know us mm-hmm. 3, Hannah Cabo and you were, and I were talking about whether or not we thought she was going to try for a girl. Seems like she probably won't. And Tammy calls her and says the baby looks like her and Amy, or mm-hmm. I mean, looks like both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Tammy then uses the time to explain how she weighs 534 pounds and she was approved for surgery. But Amy was like, no, not today. It's about me and my son.
This ain't about you right now. This is about Glenn.
Right. And she looked like she was heavily drugged. She looked very relaxed. And like,
yeah, she was like, bring on more pain meds.
Right.
And that fucking hurts, man.
Right. It's
awful. And every time you like try to laugh or cry or anything. You can't even cough without it hurting. That's what
was the worst, the cough.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I wasn't even sick. I don't know why I was coughing, but no. Magically do. It was awful.
Dry or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So then we just see a preview for next time, and this is where it gets really sad because we just spend a lot of time talking about what it's like to have a C-section in the hospital. And we know that Michael gets kicked out of the hospital for testing positive for COVID.
Yes.
And it's just her and Glenn.
Yeah. So Amy had to deal with like basically my situation, you know, she didn't have anybody there mm-hmm. to help her. And that's just the crash of emotions, all the things, you know, to not have anybody there with you. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, was anybody no one was able to replace him at the hospital, like instead of him? I don't know.
I remember when my friends, I mean, I delivered during COVID. I delivered January 1st, 2021. So it was still pretty high in COVID, but it was just coming down to where you could have a visitor. There was a point, I think, at the hospitals where they were so regulated, like the person that was a visitor had to test going like 2 days before going to the hospital mm-hmm. and they couldn't leave the hospital. So like you couldn't even leave to go get a bag from your house or anything. So I don't know what they were at in that sense, but you couldn't switch out. Even when I was delivering,
you couldn't switch out. Okay.
Could not switch out. So whoever your person was your person.
And
that was it. So.
But it's also hard. I mean, as someone who delivered without the father there, I mean, who was mm-hmm. my husband at the time, you know, that's hard. That's,
yeah.
You know, it's really hard. You don't, you know, I mean, my parents were there, were great, but they were also, you know, my parents, you know.
Yeah. My mom was with me and she was a blessing, but I also wasn't able to produce breast milk. So I was trying to pump every 15 minutes.
Oh, God.
I had all the lactation, you know, nurses.
Oh, yeah, all of the stuff.
I'm like, I'm in pain. They're like, you can do it. I'm like, which I try. I mean, I tried for 3 months to breastfeed, but three weeks. But after 3 weeks of no milk production, you're just like.
At that point, you had
it ain't happening.
You had to make a choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Well, yeah.
So.
Birth stories, right?
Birth. things you can't control.
Right.
you know, did you have a birth plan? A birth plan.
That's what I tell any pregnant person that asks me, like, what advice would you give me? I always tell them, don't have an expectation. Like, you can have a birth plan, whatever.
Like, have an idea of what you want. Like, do you want is Pitocin okay? Is pain meds okay? Like, what kind, where's your limits? Like, those kinds of things you need to know. That, yeah.
Of course. But don't ever expect things to go a certain way. And if you can be
be flexible.
As flexible as possible. Like, did I want a C-section? Absolutely not. But I knew that, hey, there was a chance. And so I wasn't as disappointed, I guess, you know?
I actually, like, kind of wanted one. I mean, no, like, intellectually, I know that, like, it's better for my body to just go into natural labor and do all that. Mm-hmm. I get that. But at the same time, I was like, oh, if I could just have a C-section, I could plan, you know? Just
plan it out. Yeah.
I know when he's coming and all that. You know, so I said that, right? But we all know, she's like, no, I mean, you're healthy, you've got all, you know, there's no reason to need a C-section. I'm like, all right, it is what it is. Then I spent 3 days in labor, and what I found out was him sunny side up and face presentation, which means he was flipped the wrong way, and his face, instead of his back of his head coming out the cooter, he was trying to stick his face out. So when the doctor checked me, so I was on Pitocin, and it was apparently too high of a dose, but for like a day and a half, nobody dosed. I don't know what was going on, but it was fucking ridiculous. And then the doctor was like checking me, and she's like, she said something about face. And I thought she meant effaced, because they talk about that being, you know, your face. And what she said actually said was, no, I felt a face. She felt his little nose through my cervix.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, you just bought yourself your C-section. I was like,
oh my God.
Whatever, you know, at that point. But so then he came out with this big ring around his face, like that was because he kept trying, because he was trying to bump out the cervix.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't open. Yeah. So he just kept bumping against my pelvic bone.
I went.
So my doctor called him little boxer because he came out like.
I went in for an induction that failed and turned to a C-section, but my OBGYN broke my water and I had excess fluid already. She knew that, but it literally exploded all over her, and she ran out of the room covered in fluid and had to deliver a baby. She's like, well, and she's like, squish, squish, squish. Oh my God, what's happening?
Oh, lordy. Anyway, birth stories. Come share yours. Come join us on the Facebook group and share your birth stories. We'd love to hear them. People like sharing their birth stories, right? Because especially the crazy ones. And so it has been 8 million years since I gave birth. So, you know, I'd love to see what's been going on. So come on, join us. Let's talk about your birth stories. If you have an uncle that murdered your grandfather, you know, let's share those stories too.
Wild. I my jaw dropped when I heard that.
We'll link what we can down below, but also go check Starcasm. They've got the whole story and an article on it. Come join us on the Facebook group. That's linked down below. We have to approve you to come in just because it's a private group. There's not like a questionnaire or anything. You just have to get approval and we'll go in and approve you. But come join the conversation. Join us on Instagram. All of the socials are below. Come join us. Check out our Facebook page. No, I said that already. Check out our website. And let us know what else you want us to cover.
Have a great day.
And thank you for tuning in to the podcast.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D and I've had a reduction and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear. But not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well. And let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.